Our scripture reading for today is from Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9. In your pew Bible, it's on page 1161. And please stand if you are able. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when the fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like the one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf in the wind, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
For a few moments on today, I'm going to preach from the topic, Shocking Hope. I'm going to invite you sometime this week to Google George Frederick Watts' Hope painting. It's an interesting painting, and it has been an inspiration for many people, including the late Nelson Mandela, who kept a reproduction of this painting on his wall while he was imprisoned for 27 years on Robben Island. Let me describe this painting to you for those of you who have not seen it. If you can picture this, hope is sitting on top of a globe. Hope is leaning over in a forlorn position. Hope is blind. Hope is playing a lyre. All of the strings have been broken except for one. To the painter, George Frederick Watts, that's a description of hope. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart bless you this day. Amen. Shocking hope. Have you ever felt that your relationship with God had changed? It felt like there was a distance between the two of you. Have you ever felt somewhat disconnected from God? Our text today is from the book of Isaiah, and as you know, this book is divided up into three main sections. Chapters 1 through 39 is referred to as the prophecies from Isaiah of Jerusalem. Chapters 40 through 55 speak to the exiles offering forgiveness and a strong encouragement to move back to Jerusalem. And then chapters 56 through 66, the remaining chapters of this book, is called the third Isaiah. And it's associated with the return of the exiles to Jerusalem. The text for today, Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9, is found itself within the larger context of Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7 through 64, verse 12. If you can recall the hearing of the reading this morning from Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9, and feel free to keep your pew Bible open or your Bible on your phone, you will notice that this particular scripture is a lament. It's a communal lament. When you look at it, you see people who remember the past. They remember how God showed up in the past in unexpected ways. They remember when God had given the law to Moses, that there was an earthquake and shaking. They remember when God had done the unexpected, when God fed the people in the wilderness. They remembered all of that, this community. And yet, they also remembered that now God is distant. God feels distant. God feels like there's a disconnection with God's people. And they acknowledge that the reason for that is because of their sin. And did you notice how they described that particular sin of theirs? They said their sin was like leaves being caught up in the wind, just moving away. They recognized that their sin had separated them from God. And so they're acknowledging the current reality, and yet there is such a desire and a yearning to reconnect with God. Were you able to hear their yearning? The people long to reconnect with God, and yet again, they acknowledge it's because of their actions, because of their attitudes, because of their behavior, that they are not as connected with God as they need to be. This Advent season is a time for us to pause. It's a time for us to examine our relationship with God. And it's a time for us to ask the question, God, are we allowing things to get in the way of our relationship with you so that we no longer recall who you are and who you long to be in our lives? Yes. I hear a yearning in this text, a yearning for hope, shocking hope, if you will. This season is a season to pause, to wait, to examine ourselves, not only individually, but also as a community of faith. Remember, this is a communal lament. The community is sharing with God. There's this sense of a disconnect. There's this sense that you've turned away, and we know you have because of our behavior. I bet they're wondering, what? What else can we do? I would suggest to you that in this particular text, the Israelites recognize that there's nothing else they can do except to appeal to God. Notice in this text, they're talking to God in an intimate way. They use the term Father. In the Old Testament, that word is rarely used, but here in Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9, they want to remind God of the kind of relationship that they long and that they yearn to have with God again. They also acknowledge in this particular text that they don't want to remain the way that they are, but they long for God to transform them. Notice they've said in the text, you are the potter, we are the clay. Oh God, transform us, mold us, make us into the people you are calling us to be. I don't know about you, but there are times I've had to pray, God, break me, melt me, mold me, fill me so that I can be who you're calling me to be. Evangel Heights Church family and friends, and those who are worshiping with us online, you too have prayed that prayer. Every time we make the choice to move forward and to be the people of God in a community who needs to see the awesome living God act in ways of mercy and justice, we are saying, God, use us, make us to your glory and to your honor. Yes, they look to God because they recognize in and of their own strength there is nothing that they can do. They wonder, will God listen? Will God act? They said in this text, God, tear open the heavens and come down and show yourself again. And beloved, this hope that they're longing for, God has responded to. You see, through Jesus Christ, we have the assurance that even when it feels like there's a disconnect between us and God, even when we feel as though God is no longer listening, we have the assurance of knowing that through Jesus Christ, God is present with us. Amen. What do the scriptures have to share with us about this good news? In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, the writer of Hebrews says. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. It is the Apostle Paul, it is Jesus who says in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, no one will snatch them out of my hand. And we also know through 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, when we do mess up, when we do turn away and walk away from God, God says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, which means we are in that relationship with God again. God never leaves us. But when we leave God, God has provided a way for us to return to God. And finally, Paul reminds us in very clear terms, I don't care how you feel, pastor's paraphrase, I don't care what you are thinking about your position and where God is in your life or not in your life. I want you to know, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 32 through 35, 37 and 39, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against you? Against those whom God has chosen. It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. I don't care how much you think you have messed up and God has written you off. That is not true. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, repeat after me, for I am convinced,
for I am convinced
that neither death,
that neither death
nor life
nor
neither angels,
nor
demons, neither the present nor the future,
nor
any powers, neither height nor depth,
nor anything else in all creation,
will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes. Nothing. Nothing. Not even our behavior, not even that we do, say, act, which causes us to feel like there is a distance between us and God, even that, when that calls God to turn away nor walk away from us. If there is a distance, beloved, it is because we have moved. Nothing, nothing, no one can separate us from the love of God. The heavens were torn open. Hallelujah. God did come to humanity through Jesus Christ. Yes. This gift of Jesus Christ, we remember and we celebrate during this Advent season. It is this gift that provides us with shocking hope, provides us with the courage to confess our sins and to receive forgiveness for our sins. It is this gift that offers us shocking hope. We will gather at the Lord's table soon. The Lord's table is a reminder that Jesus Christ is with us as we receive the elements that represent the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. We open up ourselves to commune with Jesus Christ. We even take the time to share with Christ what is on our hearts and our minds, and we allow Christ to minister to us even as we receive the elements that represent Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving and gracious Lord, like the Israelites, we have to acknowledge to you that we have messed up at times. Our words, our attitudes, our deeds, our actions. We're sorry. Forgive us. Forgive us. Renew us now. Shape us and mold us more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So that when we leave this house of worship, when we, the church, leave this sacred space, our words, our actions, our behaviors will be different. Thank you for the truth and promise of your word that you are with us. Amen.